Have you ever ruined a perfectly good meal with just one ingredient that was off? Too much salt, too much sugar, too much flour, not enough flour, whatever it may be, but you got through the whole thing and you're like, ugh, what is off in this? The reality is a little seasoning can blend beautifully on meat or chili or in a sauce. Together, those spices bring the dish to life, just like the seasoning I have here in my hand. But when one ingredient takes over in that blend, it can change the flavor of the entire meal. And it rarely happens all at once. Usually it's often something that's subtle. You're in a hurry, so you add too much, or you're missing an ingredient and you substitute something thinking, this will work instead. Or your kid comes running through the room and bumps you while you're putting stuff in there. Slowly, one flavor begins to dominate the rest. The reality is, what's in a meal shapes what it becomes. Every meal develops a very distinct flavor based on how it's seasoned. That flavor sets the dish apart from all other dishes. And sometimes the flavors are balanced and they're all working together, and sometimes they're not, and something is overwhelming the flavor and takes over the flavor of the dish. A meal is shaped by its ingredients, and those ingredients are shaped by the realities of life. What's available, how much time you have, and where your attention is while you're using it. The same is true for our own lives. We're always being shaped, especially under the pressures of life. I'm sure none of you have deadlines or expectations. I mean, we all have pressures that we're under. Relationships that cause pressure, responsibilities, and the uncertainty about the future. None of us live static lives. We're all being formed by the world around us. And how we're formed shapes the kind of life that we live. The flavor of our lives is always developing, if you will. We see this in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 3 through 7, verse 1, which Chloe just read for us a moment ago. And we're given this perspective. With Jesus, the flavor of our lives becomes marked by the life of God. Meaning, our lives are set apart by being restored, healed, and set apart for the things that God has for us. But apart from Jesus, our lives become marked by a different kind of flavor. Estranged, lifeless, divided from each other and from God. The good news of God's word in 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 7, verse 1, is that Jesus is not distant from the shaping of our lives. He is present and he's active in the midst of it. He wants to shape us so that we can experience new life with God, with ourselves, and with each other. So 2 Corinthians invites us to consider this. What's shaping the flavor of your life? Is it Jesus or is it something else? When Jesus becomes the flavor of your life, new life is possible with God and with others. If we pause and think about what influences our lives, what shapes the flavor of our lives, what would you point toward? Think about that for a moment. For some of you, the flavor of your life is being shaped by your past. Past disappointments, betrayal, dysfunctional relationships, unrealized dreams, loneliness, loss, or grief. And all those things still influence how you see yourself and how you see the world around you. Those experiences may have taught you what you never want to do again. You don't want to live like the younger self that you were. You don't want to be like your mom or your dad. You don't want to relive a painful season of your life. And over time, those experiences and your reaction to them have begun to shape the flavor of your life today. Or for some of you, the flavor of your life is being shaped by cultural expectations. The ideas of what a woman should be or what a man should be, what a mom is responsible for, and what a dad ought to provide. Those expectations can become powerful influences in our lives. And over time, those expectations have begun to shape the flavor of our lives today. Or for some of you, the flavor of your life is being shaped by the worldview that says, we only live once. Life is short, so you need to get the most out of it right now. You need to maximize your experiences, pursue what makes you happy, and make the most of every opportunity. And over time, whether through pleasure, success, wealth, status, or simply being true to ourselves, that worldview has begun to shape the flavor of our lives today. The reality is this: we're surrounded by many things that influence us, and they shape what our lives look like and what they're known by. And if we're honest, those influences can flavor our lives a certain way. They're what lead us to be estranged from each other or lifeless and feel divided. We end up with a flavor that isn't what we were created for, and it's actually not actually what we want. And over time, those influences become the dominant flavor of our lives because that's what our lives have been seasoned with. But God's word invites us into a new kind of influence, the kind that shapes us into the kind of persons that we want to be, new people. And as we've seen in 2 Corinthians, the relationship between Paul and the Corinthian church is a strained one. It's not one that's in harmony. The Corinthians and Paul are at a crossroads. Will they remain estranged and divided from each other? And will the life of the relationship just keep drifting apart to where it ends? Or will they be reconciled through love and forgiveness and restoration? A major part of that strain has been the influence of false teachers, voices not rooted in the way of Jesus. And Paul says these voices have entered into the Corinthian lives, and they've begun to shape and mold who they are. They've affected the flavor of their lives, and that influence is not neutral. It's pulling them toward continued division and not reconciliation. It's influencing them away from Paul, not toward him. And Paul is ultimately saying it's leading them away from God and not toward God. So if there's any hope of restored relationship between the Corinthians and God and the Corinthians and Paul, it depends on what's shaping them. At its core, Paul is asking, what's shaping you? Or to us, what's shaping us? What's shaping the posture of our lives? What's shaping us into people who love, forgive, and who pursue reconciliation? And Paul is ultimately proclaiming that it is Jesus who shapes us into people like this. Only when Jesus is shaping your life, only when Jesus is the prominent seasoning of your life, is this kind of life, this new life, possible. In other words, God's word in 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 7, 1 is asking us, what's shaping the flavor of your life? Is it God or something else? Because something is always shaping you, especially under pressure. And the good news of 2 Corinthians is that Jesus is not distant from that process. He is shaping your life so you can experience new life. When Jesus becomes the flavor of your life, new life is possible with God and with each other. In order for the ingredients in a seasoning to come together first, like in order for the seasonings in this blend here, they first had to go through a process of refinement. The salt had to be ground, the pepper is milled, the herbs are chopped up, the spices are crushed. There's pressure involved in that process. But that pressure is what allows each ingredient to become what it was meant to be and to blend well with each other to make a dish flavorful. In a similar way, in 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 10, Paul describes his own life encountering a kind of refining process like this. He talks about pressure, the hardships he's undergone, the opposition he encounters, the sorrow he has, even the imprisonment that he's had to endure, and how he's walked through all of it. But he also shows that Jesus' presence in his life has meant those pressures don't define or dominate him. They definitely could influence him, and they are influencing him if he lets them. When things become too hard, he could just give up, but that's not what he's doing. Instead, Jesus uses those moments of pressure to help shape Paul into the kind of person God created him to be and the call that God had on his life. A life where Jesus is shaping the distinct qualities of his life so that even hardship, even opposition, and even sorrow becomes something that reflects the life of God. And Paul connects this refining work directly to his relationship with the Corinthians. It's what has made it possible for him to not give up on them. It's why he's still writing to them even though they don't consider him worth being in their life. It's what's made it possible for him to not give up, to hold out hope for reconciliation, and to remain the kind of person who can pursue restoration with them instead of just walking away from them. And part of how we see Jesus shaping Paul is in how he speaks to the Corinthians. We see this in verses 11 through 13 of chapter 6. Even after being hurt and misrepresented by them, Paul doesn't respond in kind. He's not saying, well, you mean people, you people that discredit me. He's not calling them those kinds of names. Instead, he reframes how he sees the Corinthians. And instead of calling them a name that we would maybe be tempted to do as well, he calls them his children. Not opponents, not problems, but beloved children. That's a very different perspective, and it shapes how he treats the Corinthians with compassion and love and why he endures with them. He's like a parent who doesn't stop loving their child even when your child hurts you. Many of you have been in that situation where your child does something that you're like you're just disappointed and you're hurt by what they did, but you don't stop loving them because of that, because they're your child. That alone influences how you relate with them. So too, Paul refuses to let offense define the relationship. And that's only possible because Jesus is setting his life apart. Otherwise, Paul could have just written them off. He could have just pulled away further. And he could have allowed division to define their relationship. But because Jesus has been shaping Paul's life, he endures all kinds of things in order to love, forgive, and to pursue reconciliation with them. And ultimately, it's the shaping work of Jesus that has made reconciliation possible from Paul's side of the relationship. Like, he knows reconciliation takes both sides, but it's at least what makes his side of that possible. When Jesus became the flavor of Paul's life, new life was possible with God and with the Corinthians. There have been times in our home when someone has baked something and one ingredient was measured wrong, and it doesn't matter which slice you get of whatever was made, something just tastes off. The whole thing is affected. It's not just one piece, it's all of it, because the whole mixture was tainted by that one wrong ingredient. And in a similar way, Paul is saying something similar happens in our lives and in the life of the church when we're influenced by something other than Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, Paul says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what does righteousness and wickedness have in common?" He's talking about the influence of false teachers here. Voices that have been shaping the Corinthians and pulling them away from the way of Jesus. And the temptation Paul is addressing is the idea that outside influence won't really change much. I mean, that's the temptation we all face, is outside influence, things that aren't of Jesus, they're not going to really affect me that much. But Paul says it has with the Corinthians, and it does with our lives as well. What we allow to blend into our lives that season it, that influence it, will shape the direction of our lives and the flavor that our lives take on. That's why Paul goes on to say, "What fellowship can light have with darkness?" in the second part of verse 14. In other words, these realities don't belong together. The word that Paul uses for fellowship here is the idea of sharing something in common. It's like having an entire pie that everyone shares from. But if that pie is flavored wrong, everybody's going to get a tainted piece of pie because they're all sharing from the same thing. And Paul's point is simple. When you mix what's not of Jesus with the way of Jesus, it doesn't stay neutral. It doesn't just stay in one part of something. It actually affects you. It pulls you somewhere. This is why Paul uses the image of a yoke, which is something, we're not talking about eggs here, so don't think that kind of yoke. We're talking about a yoke that animals would wear, which is something that's probably not as common for us to think about. But a yoke is what ties two animals together so that they can move in the same direction and one can't outpull or outmaneuver the other one. And as long as they're connected, one is always influencing the other. That's the warning that Paul is giving. What you're joined to will shape where you go. That one animal can want to go somewhere else, but if it's being influenced by the other one, it's going to have to go where that animal's going. And if what you're joined to is not rooted in Jesus, it will pull you away from the life God intends for you, toward division, distortion, and distance from God and with each other. So Paul's invitation is this: get away from what's not of Jesus. Get away from anything that gets in the way of his shaping of your life. Because when Jesus isn't the flavor of your life, but something else is, new life is hindered with God and with each other. My kids enjoy watching the show Kids Baking Championship. And if you've watched any of those baking shows on the Food Network, one thing that often can happen in one of those shows is that whatever the person's making, it falls apart because the contestant didn't follow the recipe closely enough. They left that one ingredient out, or they didn't let it bake long enough, or whatever it might be, all because they didn't follow the recipe book. This is the recipe book from our house, so this is like a sacred book in our house for all the goodies that get made. So this, I got to protect this with my life. But all because a baker or a cook doesn't follow the recipe, the dish ends up being off just because of that one step. That one step ends up influencing the flavor of that dish and gets it away from what the baker originally intended. In a similar way, Paul reminds the Corinthians that God has not left us alone to figure out our lives for ourselves. He has given us a recipe, and ultimately it's the life of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16 through 7, verse 1, Paul strings together several Old Testament promises to show us that God has not left us and that he's still involved in this process of shaping us to be the kind of people he knows we can be when we follow his recipe. Paul says things like, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God and they will be my people. Paul's pulling this from the promises of the Old Testament. And further, God says, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. And further, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters. Taken together, these promises reveal that God has always been pursuing a people who belong to him. A people set apart by his presence, set apart because he's present in their life, and shaped by his life rather than the influences all around us. That's the good news Paul wants the Corinthians to hear. God is not distant from the shaping of our lives. He is present within it. He calls us away from influences that lead to division and emptiness, and calls us into a full life, the full life that he has for us. He's not merely God. He says, I am your father. God is our father. And we are not merely just his creation. He says that we are his sons and his daughters. We are his cherished children, whom he is shaping into the life he has created us to live. Paul's point is that God's presence is what makes this new life possible. The Lord Almighty is who makes reconciliation possible. It's because of God's ability within your life, working in and through your life, shaping and molding you and influencing you, that reconciliation and new life is possible. Jesus is who makes restoration possible. When Jesus becomes the flavor of your life, new life is possible with God and with others. So in light of Paul's words that we encounter here in 2 Corinthians, how might God's word intersect with our lives today? Maybe the Lord is prompting you to consider what's shaping your life. To consider what's shaping your life. Since it's Father's Day, dads, let's start there. What's shaping the kind of man or husband or father you're becoming? What's influencing who you are as a husband, as a dad, or as a guy? Because we're not short of influences that point us in different directions. But is Jesus the one shaping us? And really, that's a question that all of us can ask ourselves. What's shaping the person that we're becoming? What's shaping the person that you're becoming? What's God's Spirit calling you to let go of so he can shape you into the new life he has for you? What kind of influences is he calling you to let go of so that you can be in perfect allegiance with him and allow him to influence your life toward what he knows is best for you? How's Jesus calling you out of the influences of this world, not to isolate you, but to form you, to make you the distinct and purpose-filled people that look like Jesus, who he's calling you to be? Followers of him, people that look like him. Maybe the Lord's prompting you to reframe how you see other people, to let go of influences that train you to see others primarily through your hurt or your frustration or your fear, and instead to let Jesus shape how you see them, not as enemies, not as obstacles, but as neighbors, as brothers and sisters, as people made in the image of God and deeply loved by him. Maybe the Lord's prompting you to trust him with the pressures of life, not giving in to those pressures, but allowing Jesus to use them to shape you toward his good ends, to make you more like him, to make you more like the life of God, more able to love, forgive, and pursue reconciliation when possible, even if it's difficult, even when everything around you encourages you to do otherwise. Maybe the Lord's prompting you to evaluate the influences of your life, to take an honest look at what's shaping your life. Are you processing past wounds with Jesus or just reacting to them on your own? Are you navigating through cultural expectations with Jesus, or are you just letting those expectations hit you and reacting to them as you understand how you should react to them? Are you viewing the world with Jesus and how he understands it, or just how you think you see it, or how the world around you sees it? Because false teachings rarely look obviously false. False teachings rarely look obviously false. They often look attractive. They often look very reasonable, maybe even helpful. The question is whether they're leading you toward Jesus and the life he has for you, or away from Jesus and the life he has for you. Jesus wants to shape you into the person he created you to be. Are we letting him? Let Jesus do what he's already trying to do. Shape you into the abundant life of God. Let Jesus change what he wisely knows needs to be changed in you. Let Jesus season your life according to his way. Let Jesus set you apart to shape the new life he has for you and with others. Paul was allowing Jesus to shape his life, and he longed for the Corinthians to do the same, to let go of the influence pulling them away from Jesus and ultimately away from relationship with him. He's saying, let Jesus work in you and bring about this reconciliation where there's been separation between us. Because only Jesus can make that possible. On our own, we'll always go toward being estranged or divided from each other. But with Jesus, forgiveness and reconciliation is possible. So how is God's word inviting you to respond today? If you've never put your faith in Jesus, I invite you to at least take that step first. Trust him and express faith in him through baptism. Let Jesus begin to shape your life toward the abundant life of God. And if you're already here, and if you're here and you've already made that initial decision, what influence do you need to surrender to him? What's shaping the flavor of your life? Is it Jesus or something else? Because something is always shaping you, especially under pressure, under the pressures of life that we all experience. And the good news of 2 Corinthians is that Jesus is not distant from that process. He is shaping your life so that you can experience new life. When Jesus becomes the flavor of your life, new life is possible with God and with others. Would you join me in prayer as we close? Father God, help us to be attentive to what your Spirit is prompting in our life right now. Show us where you're calling us to respond to your word. Father, show us where we go astray of the life you desire for us to live. Father, help us to repent, to turn away from those influences, to confess that your way is best, and to trust that you can shape and mold us to be those kind of people, even where we find ourselves today. Father, help us to turn our lives over to you, to let our allegiance only be to you and let you be the only dominant influence in our life to shape and mold us toward the kind of people we long to be but can't be without you. Help us to respond as you're calling us to you today, to surrender to you or to let go of influences that are hindering you from shaping us to be those kind of people, your children, your loved children. Thank you for being a father to us and never giving up on us. It's by the power of your Spirit and through your Son, Jesus, we pray this. Amen.